rather than go right back into, we're moving quite well in our series in 2 Corinthians, but I want to take a pit stop right before we get back to 2 Corinthians today, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31, 32, and 33, and then if it's the Lord's will, next week we'll get back to our series on 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31, 32, and 33. If you're able to stand, would you please do so? I read these verses audibly. You read along in your own Bibles there. Follow along with me, please. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Amen. Fathers, we bow together now. I ask you to please open up the truth of your word. Help us to not only understand what you say here, but what you mean, how it applies to our lives. And then would you grant us great grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. God bless you. All right. Our subject for today then is live to the glory of God. Live to the glory of God. Now, the Corinthian church, like many and most churches today, had problems, okay? And they had some serious problems. They had disorder. They had cliques and division. They had marital issues. They had morality issues, some serious morality issues. They had problems in public worship. Disorder there. They had... had some bad theology that they were working through. Even they had eschatology problems. And so Paul addresses so many of the concerns and issues with the church at Corinth in this letter. He's writing to correct wrong understanding and wrong thinking, which leads to wrong what? Actions. As a man thinks, so he is. Okay, so when our thinking and understanding is wrong, it's going to affect our decisions and our words and our actions. Okay, chapters 9 and 10. Then Paul is addressing Christian liberties, and we all have them. We all have liberties that have been given to us by Christ. But Paul is concerned that we not use our liberties to cause someone else to stumble. Okay, just because you can go into a liquor store to get a soda or whatever it is, a snack. Paul is saying, be concerned about the one who might see that and misunderstand why you're in the liquor store and stumble, you see? So, yeah, that's your liberty. You can go into any store. You see what he's saying? So he's addressing Christian liberties here so that you and I need to be concerned about how our actions affect other people, even though it's not a sin, all right? So for a few minutes today, then, I just want you to remember this. Our lives either bring honor or dishonor to God. The way we live is important. I want to answer three questions. The first question is, what is the glory of God? The second question is, how do we live to the glory of God? And the last question we want to talk about is, why should I do that? What is the glory of God? How do I live to the glory of God, and why should I live to the glory of God? All right? Number one, let's look at what the glory of God is. And basically, I'm going to sum it up this way. Number one, the first thing, then, is that the glory of God is when God receives praise for who he is and what he has done. Okay? God is worthy of praise, and he's glorified when we acknowledge who he is and what he has done. For example, in Isaiah 46, verse 9, God says, I am God, and there what? Is no other. I am God, and there is no one what? Like me. So God alone is the creator. Nobody helped God in creation.
He did it all by himself, right? He's the keeper. He sustains everything. God feeds birds and lions and elephants and you and me. And he keeps oxygen in the air. Think of that. And he maintains life in the entire cellular system, right? He's the only one that's omniscient. He knows everything. Think of that. God, there is nothing that God does not know. Not only that, he's everywhere. Yeah. There is nowhere that God isn't. Yeah. Isn't this phenomenal?
Yes, it is.
Even in the worst of things, you think of the worst situations that you think of today. Miserable situations that are going on, God is there.
Yeah.
You say, well, why didn't God change it? That's not for you to know. Uh-huh. The secret things, what? Belong to God.
Yeah.
Now, every now and then he'll reveal what he's doing. But he says, I want you to trust me, what? With all your heart, even if you can't figure it out. We saw that in Habakkuk today, didn't we? Habakkuk was sitting scratching his head. How in the world can God use somebody wicked to reprove the righteous? But God said the same thing to you and me. He said to Habakkuk, you got to just trust me. I know what I'm doing, right? And so there's no one like him. So who he is means that he's worthy of praise. But we also worship God because of what he's done. Right? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and what? Forget none of his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, deliver your soul from the pit. And so he's done all these great things. He's worthy of praise, right? So that's the one way that God receives glory. He receives praise for who he is and what he's done. But this is something that you may not have thought of. The second way that God is glorified is when he receives praise for who we are and what we've done.
Amen.
Think of this. You may not have thought of this before. We know that we're to praise God for who he is and what he's done. But God needs to be praised for who we are as his people and what we have done. What are you talking about, Brother Willie? Matthew 5:16. Let your light, what, shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory, what, to your Father who is in heaven. What? People ought to look at me and God gets glory from it? That's what he says. God is glorified when people see how I live. So that's what I mean. We're either going to bring honor or dishonor. God's not glorified when I misbehave. Right?
Amen.
But he's affected. That's what I want you to see, right? You and I want God to be glorified, right? And so, as we talk to the children, that's a part of what we understand. We are children of God. The Bible says that over and over and over. What did Brother Billy say this morning? Why does the Bible repeat truths? So that we'll get it. We are called children of God over and over and over, repeatedly, right? And as children of God, then our lives reflect on the character of God. If we are God's children, then his children ought to look like him, right? That's what we expect our children. We expect our children to reflect our values when they are away, right? So does God. God expects us to reflect his values when he sends us out into the world. He says, I send you out as what? Light and salt. Right. Okay. We good?
Amen.
So we are to reflect God's character in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. So to answer this one question, what is the glory of God? It's when God receives praise for who he is and what he's done, and when God receives praise for who we are and what we've done. Everybody good? Okay. Now this should be simple. All right, don't make this hard, all right? That's the first question. Let's answer the second question. How do I live? How do I live to the glory of God? This is where it may surprise you. So I really want you to pay attention. Because when you think about it, it sounds so mystical. Living to the glory of God? What is that? Look at how Paul addresses it. To live to the glory of God involves daily lifestyle and activities. Now, don't you get this. Look, you got verse 31? Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat, or drink, or whatever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God. What is he getting at? All of these activities that we do every day reflect on God. And because they're so routine to us, we don't think of it that way. So God has to remind us that our lifestyle has an impact. Look at this. As children of God, even ordinary activities, this is what we may call ordinary. You know what? It's, just a quick side note. It's amazing how quickly ordinary activities become important when we get sick. Isn't it? You ever thought of that? I was standing up yesterday, and my foot started hurting. What? Just standing up, and now I'm limping from standing up. Now, 10 seconds ago, I wasn't thinking about my foot, cause it was working fine. But now it's hard to walk. Right? So we don't think about ordinary activities until there's a problem. We don't think about how we're blessed until there's a disruption. Right? It's amazing you don't treasure your eyesight until you can't see. Or when you start having people to repeat what they said. Or when you realize you can't jump up as fast as you used to. Now, what's your point, Brother Willie? These are ordinary activities, but we often take them for granted, both for ourselves and for the way they reflect on God. Okay, so as children of God, even our ordinary activities ought to be pleasing to Him. Okay, now stay with me on this. Pleasing God and not ourselves is to guide us in everything we do every day. What? This is what Paul is getting at here. You and I can get so lost in the daily routine that we forget that God is God's reputation is at stake in our home. Think about how fussy we are at home. When we can't find something, or when you know how things can go around home, you're forgetting that God's reputation is at stake there. I'm just being plain, right? But that's what Paul is getting at here. Do you honor God when you eat? What do you do when you eat? Stand up at the counter, eat it before it's, you know, before it's good on the plate, good. I'm just saying. We need to think about how is God getting honor from that sandwich? He says he does. Now you let your stomach be messed up and you can't eat. Then you realize how important it is to eat that sandwich. But you see, the problem is we don't think about it when it's all going well. We don't think about how God is glorified until we need him for these ordinary activities. You ever had a toothache? You don't think about it until you can't chew on that side. Or like me, you ever had an abscess? It's like the thing, it starts traveling. It's just one tooth. But the pain, you can't deal. The pain is so intense that you can't function. Right? And so you see, my teeth ought to bring glory to God. You don't think about it when they're functioning well. Do we? Until we start losing them. and then we start thanking God for what's left. I'm serious. Thank God for a filling. FILLING, not If he, not feeling, but I thank God that there's a feeling in there that it's still a little bit still left. You know, why are you being so crass? That's what he's doing here. This is these ordinary parts of life ought to bring glory to God. Okay? We good? Everything we do at home and at work, at school, the children at school, you represent Christ when we come here. Wherever we are, how does he say it? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your what? Good works and give glory to our Father. All of the little things we do around home that are crass and hurtful, you might not be taking note of them, but God is. And see, you cannot continue to live and not bring glory to God and think he's not going to do something. That's like that child that thinks that you're just going to let them continue to do what they want to do. And you're not going to do anything. Right?
Amen.
Because then God says, if you would judge yourself, then I wouldn't have to what? I wouldn't have to afflict you with this thing or that thing. How much do we appreciate these ordinary things that we do every day? How grateful are you? I'm simply saying this because I think we need to really be a lot more thankful with our ordinary things. You know, thankful when you can wake up and see.
Yeah.
Unless you've had a lung problem or something, you know, you don't appreciate the value of just breathing. If you've ever had a heart, if you ever had pain in your chest, wondering whether that's a heart attack. All of these, look, see, my body is to bring glory to God. And I need to think about it before I get sick. I need to think about giving him glory while I'm well. You getting it? And I'm not fussing. I'm just saying this is what he's getting at right here. Is this is the way we give glory to God every day. So you think about it. Do you please God when you eat? Do you please God when you select your clothes? The way you dress is to bring what? Glory to God. Is that what you think about, or do you just put on what you want to? When you shop for clothes. And I don't want to digress too much here. But when you select clothes, do you select them so that they'll bring glory to God? Now, I'm not saying we should get, quote, I'm not asking us to be crass, you understand? I mean, I thank God that we live in a culture where we can select different styles of clothing. But God says some things are inappropriate for a Christian. Right?
Amen.
And so the question is, do I buy something that brings attention to me?
Yes, sir.
Or did I buy something that will glorify God, even though it looks good? Mm-hmm. You see the difference? And so it's always the issue of motives.
Yeah.
In my when I go to work, most of us are in environments where we experience injustice or wrong. But am I there? The Bible says you work as what? Unto the Lord. God is to be glorified. People need to see how a Christian handles it when you got passed over. You know it. They know it. Right? So that's what he's getting at here. Is all of those daily you and I don't really understand, you know, I'm not picking on Brother JT, but y'all know that the Taylor household just went through what would be a really difficult discouragement.
Amen.
Right? With recently. But the issue, and we saw how they both walked through it.
Yeah.
They're more concerned about the glory of God.
Yeah.
I mean, we all were discouraged. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
But they came out of it. Why? Because God's in control.
Yeah.
Right? God's in control. And so whether he gets the kidney now or later or never, God gets the glory. Because he's not going to need the kidney long anyway. Really? We all have to keep the right perspective here. All of these things that keep us knotted up are all temporary. I need to keep, remember that it's all about God's glory because that's where we're headed. We good? Okay. And so how do I live to the glory of God? It involves daily lifestyle and activities, and it revolves, involves relationships with people. You see verse 32 and 33? Can you find that back in our text? Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. How do I glorify God in relationships with people? God is glorified when sinners are saved and saints are edified. So when you and I share the gospel with people that don't know Christ, when we encourage another Christian, God is glorified, right? Why? In each case, the only way a sinner is going to be saved is you got to point them to who? You got to point them to God. The only way a saint is edified is that you got to get them out of themselves. You got to point them to God. So when that happens, God is glorified. You getting it? And so when you think about how our relationships are to bring glory to God, you got your Bible open there? Look at verse 23 and 24. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Okay? How can that, is that possible, Brother Willie? Only by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Only by the Spirit can I discern whether what I'm going to do is going to be harmful to you. Right? Now, you did notice that he's not saying that we are to be just flop around on the whims. I mean, people got all kind of ideas about what we ought to be doing. That's not his issue. But he's talking about harming someone spiritually. Someone is set back because I do something that I know. I know that there's no biblical reason I shouldn't do it. But if this person doesn't understand that, and I'm hurting, you see what he's saying?
Yeah.
I've got to consider them because I'm going to live a few more years. But if I'm affecting this person's growth, God's going to hold me accountable. That's not bringing glory to Him.
Yeah.
You getting it?
Yeah.
So my issue has to be God's glory, not just what I can do, what I like to do. And this is challenging because sometimes you don't even think people are watching you with the things you do. Right?
Amen.
It's amazing. Have you come back and you find somebody saw you at this restaurant or they saw you here. You didn't even know they were there.
Uh-huh.
You ever had that? Yeah. And so wherever I go, whatever I do, I need to always be concerned about God's glory and about how it affects other people. Okay?
Amen.
So if I got options, choose the one that will bring more glory to God and cause less harm to people.
Yeah.
You see the point? You got chapter 8. Look at chapter 8 and verse 9, I believe it is. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. You see that? It's your right. You can do it. But if it causes a Christian to stumble just because they're weak in the faith, then you have caused them harm. And God is saying that brings no glory to me, and it did not bring any kind of growth to the individual that you're supposed to love, right? You see verse 12 there in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 8, 12. Thus sinning against your brothers, and that's what he calls it. You sin against another person when you do something that you know will harm their spiritual growth. God calls that sin. You got verse 12? Look at verse 12. That's what it says. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. What? Yeah. When you wound someone's conscience, you say, well, they ought to be more mature than that. Well, that's maybe true, but they're not. You say that to your child. You know better than that, but you ought to be growing up more than that, but they're not. So you got to deal with them what? Where they are. Not where they ought to be. Come on. Right?
Amen.
So yeah, a person, maybe they should be further along, but God says they're not. And you, there's been a point in your life you should have been further along too. Yeah. And someone was gracious toward you, right? Amen. And so that's his point. We have to be considerate about our relationships. So you got those 2 points? How do we live to the glory of God? We do it with our daily activities around the house. For those of us who work on cars, when stuff go wrong, you have to be careful with how you respond when something goes bad. A wrench slips and, you know, some bad things happen. You just have to control yourself. Why? Because I'm more concerned about God's glory than just saying something that may hurt. But even more so, I need to be sure that that's not in my heart. Because if it's in my heart, it's from Christ's perspective, you might as well have said it, right? And so it's these ordinary activities and these relationships with other people is the way we live to the glory of God. And then the last question. I got one more item here. It involves daily lifestyle and activities, and then it involves our relationship with God. That's what I see in, can you go back to 1 Corinthians 10? You see verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11? Look at what Paul is addressing here. He says, now he's speaking of Israel, right? God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and here we find them getting involved in idolatry. He says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed. Now you notice this. He lumps grumbling and complaining with idolatry. God will kill you for both of them. That's serious. That's serious. Grumbling comes from an ungrateful heart. And God wants us to be what? Grateful. Okay? So he says, don't be like them. You don't bring glory to God when people hear you fussing all the time. Even you don't like to be around fussing all the time, do you? Think how folks feel about us then, if that's all that we bring to the table. But God said you need to be more concerned about what I think about it than people, right? Now, you need to be concerned about people, but God says, if you're going to have a right relationship with me, learn to be thankful. And my wife tells me this, and I have a problem with this at times, you know. Rather than looking at the glass as half empty, really, you need to learn to see it as half full, right? Because it's a matter of perspective. If I'm only going to look at what's not, then I'll be complaining all the time. But if I look at what is, then I've got a reason to what? Be thankful. And I tell you, God has been good. And all I have to do is to meditate, as the Bible tells me to do. Sit down, Willie, and meditate. Now, the good thing is that God can handle our grumbling. That's the reason he would say, if you're going to grumble, come to me. Don't go grumble to, you see, these are people grumbling with, you know, each other. Go to God. He can handle your grumbling, and he'll bring you out of it. Right? Verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. So, it involves our relationship with God. We must not yield to the things that compete for our love. There are lots of things in our lives that are competing for our love, and that love is reserved for God, right? It's amazing. In America, in this room right here, think of how much stuff you own. And that stuff has to be maintained. I'm not being critical about it, you understand? But we have accrued a lot of stuff in our lives, right? And you and I both know that it competes for our time. It competes. You wouldn't have bought that big screen if you didn't plan to spend some time in front of it, right? Y'all acting real sanctified. Now, you know you wouldn't have bought that big screen if you didn't plan to spend some time in front of it. But the problem is that's demanding, you know? I know y'all fussing me. I preach a sermon for 45 minutes. You watch a two-hour movie and don't think nothing about it. Now, I'm trying to get better, and I am. I'm working on it. Today, I'm going to surprise all of y'all. But the thing is that you, we got things that are competing, and we have to recognize that, right? And so we can't yield to those things that are competing for our time and our loyalty. And it's no different than Israel. When we were poor, we had very little, and you know, we fussed a lot, but we could spend time doing other things. The more stuff you get, the more time you got to spend on the stuff, right? And so God alone must hold that primary place in our hearts. Okay, so how do I live to the glory of God? It involves daily lifestyle and activities. It involves relationship with people. And it involves our relationship with God. Lastly, why? Why should I do this? Hopefully I've answered what it is to live to the glory of God. We looked at how to do it. And now I just want to answer this last question and we'll be done. How do you do it? Well, the first way is, why should you do it? The first reason is that I love God. Why do I live to God's glory? Because I love Him, right? I love Him. And there should be no question in your mind about that. You can't be saved if you're saved, you have to love God. You cannot be a Christian and not love God, right? Now I'm not talking about the stuff that's called. I'm talking about to be born again. You have to love God because you know what you were and you know what you are. And the only reason that I am not what I used to be is because God did something in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it.
Yeah.
I've been changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Been changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Been changed.
Yeah.
Know what I used to love to do. I ain't talking about like to do. I know what I used to love to do. Thank God that He took. Now I love God. Didn't say I don't struggle, but I what? Love God. Right? And so that's why we do it. We love because what? God first loved us. And He's faithful to us. You remember how? Let's see, verse 13. Let me read it. Y'all got verse 13? That's it. No temptation has overtaken you except that what? Which is common. But God is faithful, right? Who will not allow you to be what? Tempted beyond that which you're able. But he, you see what it says? God is what? Faithful. God, that's what I depend upon. That's my solid rock. God is faithful when I'm hurting, when I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But I know God is faithful. He doesn't change. He's right there with me. I can count on Him. Even though it hurts. And I'm struggling right now. But God's the same. He's faithful. And you see what that verse says? He will not allow me to what? Be tempted beyond what I'm able. It feels like it right now. Feels like I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. But God says you can handle more than you think. How? Because I'm faithful. And if you couldn't, I would have brought you out of it already. But then it says what? He'll make a what? Way of escape. What? That's right. That's why I love Him. Love Him because He's loved me and He's faithful to me. As often as I've failed, as miserable as some of the things I've done, He's still faithful. Love Him. Love Him. He said, I'll never leave you. What? Never. You know how long never is? Never. Gotta love Him. Gotta love Him. Never. Folks live, I can't tell you how many folks have left me, but not God. And I know the same with you, right? Aren't you thankful that God didn't go anywhere? He may not be talking a lot right now, but he's still right there. Isn't that good? Yeah. I live to the glory of God because he first loved me, and he's faithful. Now this is where it really gets good here. I begin to think about this. We love God, and we want to live for him because, see what? He died for us. That, you know that song? Live for him who what? Died for us. Want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do it. I want to do it because he bought me. Right? 1 Corinthians 6. Remember how Paul was talking to the Corinthians there about using their bodies for sexual sin? He says, no, don't do that. Why? Because your body is what? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer your own. What? You've been what? Bought with a price. Then listen to what he says. So glorify God how? In your body. This is wonderful. What will it? Glorify God in your body. Use your body to bring glory to God. Don't keep going out there and doing the stuff you used to do. That's not bringing God any glory. Anybody can drink. Anybody can have sex. Anybody can do all that stuff. You don't bring God glory by doing what you can do. Bring God glory by doing what he tells you to do. Why? You've been bought. You've been ransomed. He paid for you. Isn't this good? And there's a wonderful verse in Romans 5. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank God for that. God didn't wait for any of us to get it together. Woo! Thank God for that. He died for me when I was ugly and detestable. He died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But this is the verse. This is the verse. If you haven't ever noted this verse, it's Romans 5, 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is amazing. This is amazing. Right? This is amazing. We live for him who died for us because he ransomed us. So we live for him because we love God. We live to the glory of God because we love people. We've already looked at these two verses that tell us to bring no offense to the Jew or the Greek. Your lifestyle should not present an obstacle to anybody who's, keep them from hearing the gospel. You're talking to them about Christ and they're looking at your life and they're saying something, there's a disconnect here. You want me to come to Christ and you're doing the same stuff I do. You want me to come to your church and I mean, you're here fussing and cussing just like I am. Okay? And so our lifestyle, it shouldn't present an obstacle. Not only people hearing the gospel for the first time, but people trying to grow. You've been a Christian for 20 years? Right? Come on. That'd be something, you know, how are you going to help me? I'm helping you. I'm help correct. You don't even, misquoting scripture. Right? So we shouldn't, our lives shouldn't present an obstacle, right? Love for the lost and the saints should motivate us to live holy. All right? So in conclusion, the psalmist says this. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. Isaiah said the earth is full of his glory, right? The glory of the Lord is highly exalted. It's exalted above the heavens. The Bible says that the glory of God is eternal. Paul said in Ephesians that the glory of God is even rich. Rich, can you get that? God's glory is rich. The psalmist says great is the glory of the Lord. One of the wonderful verses, Psalm 3:3 says, the Lord is a shield around us. He is our glory and the lifter, what? Of our head. That's good news right there. His name is glorious. His ways are glorious. And we have been called into His glory in this life and through all eternity. We are my brothers and my sisters. This is why we ought to live to the glory of God. Live to the glory of God. Live every day for the glory of God. Live every way in everything for the glory of God. Make every thought for the glory of God. Every word, every action for the glory of God. Wake up in the morning for the glory of God. Eat for the glory of God. Talk and walk for the glory of God. Run and play for God's glory. Serve Him for His glory. Shop for the glory of God. Practice for the glory of God. Laugh and cry for God's glory. Dress up for God's glory. Entertain. Go on vacation for God's glory. Teach people for the glory of God. Learn for what? The glory of God. Exercise for the glory of God. Pay your bills for God's glory. Take your medicine for God's glory. Live married for the glory of God. Live single for the glory of God. Raise your children for God's glory. Sing for His glory. Pray for God's glory. Usher for God's glory. Read your Bible. Do everything for the glory of God. Everything. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. This is a great privilege. It's a great honor. You and I have actually been blessed to do this for the glory of God. We must live every day for Him who died for us eternally. Live for Him every day who died for us eternally. And if you're not a Christian, you can't live for God's glory yet. But if you'll come to Christ today, you can start living for His glory now. You can come. You don't need to go anywhere to come to Christ. You come to Christ in your heart. You can come to Christ right where you're sitting. All you have to do is to believe, right? Jesus says, believe and you will be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Jesus says, Lord, and you will be saved. And so I plead with you. If you don't know Christ, I'm not asking if you go to church. And be quite honest with you, you may even serve. You may be busy with stuff. But the issue is, do you know Christ? You need to be born again. You'll never know anything about living for God's glory if you haven't been born again. You can do that today by faith. Come to Him. Believe on Him. He'll save you. Father, thank You for the great mercies that we know in Christ and the hope that we have in Him. Would You complete the work that You've started in us? For Your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Every saint said, Amen. Amen.